We've been going through a sermon series this summer on everyday saints, people in the Bible who are just like us, broken and flawed, that God has used to do incredible things if they let him. And today we hear Jonah's story, somebody who ran from God and didn't want to obey, something that I think all of us have done at one time or another. I invite you to hear how God speaks through Jonah's story. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish, and he went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went abroad and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, with such a violent storm arose that the ship was threatening to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he laid down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call upon your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" Jonah answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified the sailors, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," Jonah replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to the land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. And at this the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Jonah's story is one for the ages. It's full of action and adventure, betrayal and suspense. It's no wonder it's always a favorite in Sunday school classes, a story we cling to throughout the ages. The story unfolds with God speaking to this man, Jonah, a faithful Hebrew man. And God tells him to go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come before me. But Jonah wanted nothing to do with God's plan, and he told God no, and he ran from him because he knew that the city of Nineveh was a sinful city, but that God was a merciful God. And Jonah knew that if Nineveh repented, that God would forgive them. And he didn't want to have any part of this message of grace and love. So Jonah ran from God, and he jumped on a boat, and he sailed for Tarshish, fleeing as far as he could from the Lord. But he soon discovered that it wasn't quite so easy to escape God's plan for his life. And God sent a violent wind and caused a great storm to rise up, and all the sailors were afraid for their lives because of what the Lord was doing. And they prayed to their gods, and they threw the cargo overboard, but nothing seemed to help. So they cast lots to see whose fault it was that they were under such a great attack. And the lot fell to Jonah. So the sailors asked him, "What have you done? Who have you angered? Who is your God?" And Jonah told him that he was running away from the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the earth. And the sailors were terrified. So Jonah says, "Throw me overboard and everything will be okay." Willing to sacrifice his own life to save the others. Willing to die instead of follow God's call in this world. So they did. They threw him overboard, and Jonah fully expected to die. Not only did he run to a ship to flee God, he attempted to kill himself. And yet God wasn't done with him yet. And God caused a great fish to swallow Jonah whole. And he lived inside this fish for 3 days and three nights. And finally, in the guts of that fish, Jonah turned to God. He confessed his sinfulness and disobedience, and he asked God's mercy. So God commands this fish to vomit Jonah up onto dry land, and he tells him for a second time, "Go to Nineveh and preach my word there." So with this near-death experience still fresh on his mind, he stops running from God and goes to Nineveh and proclaims God's word. And the people confess. And Jonah is heartbroken and angry and frustrated with God because God indeed shows mercy to these people. Mercy that Jonah doesn't think they deserve. So he's mad and pouty and angry with God. And God teaches Jonah a lesson. And Jonah's sitting outside of the great city in the burning sun, and God causes this beautiful tree to grow and to shade Jonah and provide protection from him. And Jonah's happy and satisfied and glad. And then God causes this tree to die. And Jonah is furious, furious that God would kill something of his own creation, that he would destroy something that he loved so much. And God points out the irony that Jonah is enraged at the death of a plant, but thinks nothing of the death of an entire city, a city of 120,000 souls that God in his mercy has granted his grace to. Jonah believed that these foreigners God had sent him to save were not worthy of God's love and wanted nothing to do with it. Boy, is Jonah's story one for the ages. It's not a good look into how the people of God live. Disobeying God, reluctance to surrender, throwing a tantrum because God loves and shows mercy upon people that we don't like. Behavior that all of us would be ashamed of. And yet behavior all of us have displayed at one time or another. There's something very real about Jonah's story. Something we can all relate to, because who at one time or another hasn't run from God, disobeyed him, thought somebody was unworthy of God's love? Who hasn't experienced God's mercy one moment and then cast it aside the next? All of us find ourselves in Jonah's story because all of us have disobeyed God's call to go. I wonder where in your life you have held back when God told you to go. What people you have shunned, what people you have judged, when you have been disobedient to God. And I wonder how we as a church have refused God's call to go and have been disobedient. As I stand here before you today, I can't help but think how we have refused to answer God's call to love those he has brought right here to our very own church. How we have been reluctant to love and care for those people who gather here each and every Wednesday night. This beautiful community that we have been blessed with, a piece of bread. Don't get me wrong, I'm amazed at the ways that we have cared for this community. Opening our doors every week, serving meals, providing a warm and safe place for them to gather. But as a church, I believe that we have kept Piece of Bread at an arm's distance over the years, and that we have refused to go as God has told us to go. We have given Piece of Bread things. We've provided them with stuff. We've made sure they were safe and warm and loved. But we have refused to go, to be with the people God has commanded us to be with. Piece of Bread has been a part of our church for the past 12 years. For 12 years, a community has gathered in our sanctuary and has worshiped and prayed and sung happy birthday and shared their stories, loved and cared and supported for one another, and have come seeking God and seeking a warm welcome. And yet we have kept them at a distance. There's something safe about this. It's much easier to write a check or to drop off a bag of food than to actually go and share yourself with another. There's something safe in keeping this divide, thinking that we're better than those that we're serving, thinking that we're more worthy of God's grace, maybe, as Jonah thought he was more worthy of God's grace than the Ninevites. And it reinforces this idea, this divide between the haves and the have-nots. I have money, and I have nice clothes, and I have a warm place to live, so God must love me and show me his mercy. But those other people, whether they're here in our own sanctuary or out there in the world, that don't have the same kinds of things as us, must not be loved by God. And it's a lie that we tell ourselves to make ourselves feel good as God's chosen people. But I have news for you, friends. We are all the same. Sinners in need of God's grace, children in need of a father's love. There is no difference between myself and those people who walk through the doors on Wednesday evenings. And I have seen our church refuse to answer the call to go to Piece of Bread and to share our lives with them. Refuse to go because we're too busy or we think we're doing enough or we don't care enough to open our lives up to another. Refuse to obey. We run from God when we don't go to events that Piece of Bread might be at because we think that's for them and not for us. So we don't go to the Wednesday night Bible study, or we don't go to Piece of Music, or we don't eat with those here on Wednesday nights because that's for somebody else. We're too good for that. So we run from God. We run from God when we refuse to answer his call, thinking that Piece of Bread doesn't hold their own weight, or worrying that they cost us so much money or they're not doing their fair share. But really, who here would worry about the expense of having our brothers and sisters come over, or the expense of having our children and grandchildren visit? Who here would charge the women's book club rent because they turned on the lights and cost us money? We refuse to answer God's call to love these people when we look down on them and see them as a burden instead of seeing them as our family. We run from God when we think of Piece of Bread as them and our Sunday morning group as us, seeing them as strangers and visitors, somebody we take pity on, as opposed to somebody we are called to love and walk through life together. We run from God when we are friendly, but not friends, with the visitors God brings through our door. When we'll smile and nod across the room, but we're not willing to go any deeper, to learn one another's names, to share our stories, to carry one another's burden. We are running from God. We run from God when we seek only to give instead of receive. When we believe that we have something to offer and that they have nothing. Think of Lindsay's experience going to India, to hearing God's story, being a part of what God is doing there, and encountering God in somewhere that none of us have ever been before. We take advantage of God. We don't recognize that all of God's creatures are beautifully and wonderfully made when we don't take seriously the gifts, the passions, and the dreams that these people bring to our church and offer to our church family. We run from God when we think that God needs us to bring his love to Piece of Bread when we don't see that God is already present, and that God has something to teach us from those people who are gathered here each and every week. I know my life has been changed by my time on Wednesday evenings, getting to know people's story, hearing their struggles, hearing how they have persevered through things that I have never experienced. Ask any of us who are there regularly engaging with this community. Mike, Lori, Leslie, Gay, Cindy, Carol. We go because we get something out of it, because our lives are changed, because our faith is deepened by our brothers and sisters that God has brought to this community. We have met God here in our sanctuary. When we come and are willing to engage with those God brings us here. We have met God because we have stopped running and we have responded to his call to go. Friends, I don't know what else God can do to get our attention besides swallowing us whole in a fish. When will we get God's invitation to go? New Beginnings, we heard God say that we are called to love and serve those he has brought through our doors each and every week, and that this is who we are and what we are called to do. And we've seen God bless this effort. We have seen his Spirit move and lives being changed and fruit happening because of our obedience. Piece of music, the opportunity to worship God together, a new Bible study where people are able to love and encourage and strengthen one another. Now there's a dream of starting a children's ministry on Wednesday nights so we can love and laugh and teach one another about Jesus. God is here at work in our congregation. It might not look like how we expected it to look like, but God is here and he is inviting us to go and be a part of it. Are we being faithful stewards with the lives God has entrusted to us? The 140 people that walk through our doors each and every week, are we being faithful to this gift that God has given us? Or do we worry that our numbers on Sunday morning are shrinking and we haven't seen very many visitors lately and that the kids seem to be gone and we don't know what the future of the church is? We worry and fret and complain that God isn't doing what we want him to do. But I'll tell you where all the visitors are. I'll tell you where all the kids are. They're right here, Wednesday night in our fellowship hall, desperate for love, a message of hope, friendship, an invitation to be a part of us and what God is doing right here and right now. Men and women and children in need of a smiling face, somebody to learn their names, to share their story with them, somebody to tell them about God. God is flooding our church each and every week with so many people that sometimes it's standing room only downstairs. Are we being faithful to this gift? Or are we complaining and dragging our feet because God's not doing it the way we want God to do it? God's not bringing the kinds of people that we want him to bring, or God's not blessing the kinds of programs that we think he should bless? Are we angry because God's not loving the kinds of people we think he should love? Austin spoke last week about being an Acts 2 church. A church that prays and studies and fellowships together, who takes seriously the call to share our lives with one another on a daily basis. Being an Acts 2 church that, maybe most importantly, welcomes the stranger, always has room for one more, who is willing and able to expand our family. Are we doing this? Are we willing to share our lives with each other in a meaningful way? Are we willing to welcome the people God has brought into our midst to be family with new brothers and sisters? God has invited us to go deeper and to serve the people that he has brought here. And that's an invitation we must take seriously. I would invite you to join us for Piece of Bread sometime. If you have never sat down and shared a meal here with us on Wednesday night, if you haven't done that in the last year, make it a priority to do that sometime this summer, not come to serve or to watch or to sort the food pantry, though those are important things, but come to make a new friend, to learn somebody's name, to share your own story, to be a part of what God is doing here. I know it's difficult with work, but this is what God has called us to do, and this is how God is moving in our church. So pick a week, sometime in the next month, bring a friend, come with your family, come and share a meal with us, and experience God's Spirit here in our church. Join us for our last ice cream social in a couple of weeks. We've had a wonderful time eating and playing board games and laughing with one another. And I've made new friends as we've gathered jointly as a church family here on Sunday with our church family here on Wednesday. Be in prayer for our brothers and sisters who gather here on Wednesdays. I've started sharing prayer requests from our Sunday morning group at Peace of Music and asking that community to be in prayer for us. I'll do the same here. Share prayer requests from Wednesday evening with our church family here on Sundays so that we can be in prayer for one another. I'd invite you to pray for a young girl who's been bullied. She's had a tough time in school. And as school is getting ready to start up again, I know that's going to be a challenge for her. I'd invite you to pray for strength and boldness, and that she would know that no matter what, she is loved by her Heavenly Father, and that's all she needs. I'd invite you to pray for Patricia, one of the grandmas of the families that gather here on Wednesday. She's in kidney failure. It is not doing well. She needs God's healing touch. And I'd invite you to give thanks for a young man who's been homeless for many years and had been looking for a house, and I'd been praying with him every week. And just this last week, he found somewhere to live, and God worked a miracle in his life. I'd ask you to give thanks and praise for how God is working in his life. These are the people that God has called us to love. These are the people God has brought into our family. These are the people God has called us to go and serve. They are our brothers and sisters, and God has called us to embrace them as family. How much longer will we as a church run from God? How will you answer God's call to go? Let's pray. God, I thank you that you have loved us so greatly, that you pursue us, God, that you have given us a mission and a purpose. God, that you forgive us when we go astray. Help us to know clearly what our part is. God, help us to open our hearts to a new family. Help us to be bold in proclaiming your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.